Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People. Thank you for joining in today. We are on WGH Talk. My name is Linda Sims, and again, the name of the show is A Voice of a People. It's a beautiful day out there. Sun is shining. Like I said, I'm not the weatherman, but it does. The weather plays a big part in your attitude and your outlook, okay? So it is beautiful here in Marion, Ohio, and I just thank the Lord for directing the tornadoes a different direction yesterday, because we did have the alarms just ringing like, wow. You know, like, take cover, right? Everybody's outside looking. Well, where is it at? Well, if you can see it, it's too late. Right? It's too late. And they can be devastating. Oh, my gosh. So, I think I'm thankful for warnings. That's what I'm thankful for. Whether it actually came here or not, I'm thankful for warnings. Let me continue with this show. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH or call 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or would like to make any comments. Okay, now there's some other things I need to share with you as far as A Voice of a People is concerned. I would like to thank those of you who faithfully listen to this show and have listened for a long time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. And if it's your first time, I pray it will not be your last time. And along with those of you I am thanking, we also have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Their phone number is 740-382-8552. Also, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, beginning this Saturday, April the 20th, they will have their first free produce. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Don't forget, mark your calendars. This will be their first free produce, April the 20th, this Saturday, beginning at 12 noon until 2 p.m. They also have a wellness fitness campus walk area adjacent to their sanctuary. This is open to the public, but please respect their property. We also have Cheryl Lee, coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, which is a faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and County Elementary Schools, along with North Union's County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. Now, this program will end in May. It may be too short of notice for your student to be a part of it this year, but they will start up again in October. So if you're interested in that, please give Cheryl Lee a call, 740-262-0939. I also would like to share with you, the month of April is not just noted for April Fool's Day, which is a long, long trend. And hopefully all the jokes are over for April Fool's Day. But some people like to let things go a long time, you know. And it's always every time you see you, they see you, they want to play a prank on you, you know. But hopefully those are all over, okay. And I don't think I even had a prank this year. Oh, my great-granddaughter played a prank on me. Yes, she did. And it was really cute because she's only like 5 years old, right? She knows about it already. So I really, that one was welcomed. Okay, that one was welcomed. And it's also noted for World Autism Awareness Day, National Garden Month, and also Alcohol Awareness Month. So all those are very important to our society today. So remember those important things going on in the month of April. Thought for today, busy people. And it's kind, we live in an age of busy people. Not only do a lot, they think a lot. The origins of busy are mental. Mental tiredness is a symptom of self going against the grain of the truth about the self. Being lost in thought, thinking constantly about things to do, what's been done, what could have been done, what was done wrong, what should have been done but wasn't, what others did, are doing, should do, must do, is not only tiring but a brilliant way to waste energy. I'm tired already. Just talking about those things, right? But if you would learn to meditate and thereby turn the eye of your attention and awareness within, if you would let your mind be quiet and allow your being to be still, you would rediscover as without, so within. You would realize outer space is but a reflection of inner space. Both are vast and infinite spaciousness. Now that was a mouthful today, wasn't it? Oh, my. So now I will turn my attention to my guest today, Fred Malone.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Couldn't be better. We survived, as you said, the storm yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Unfortunately, our neighbors to the north in Bisayas did not.
I know.
My wife plays pickleball in Bisayas and has a lot of friends over there. And she was getting texts from all of them last night with pictures of the damage.
Wow.
It was horrendous. The downtown really got hit hard. And the homes around the downtown. There was one this morning on the news. I don't know whether you saw this or not. On Channel 6 News, they had a representative up there. And this house was lifted clear off of the foundation.
I know. I did see that. Yes,
that
I did.
That was amazing. You could see right down into the guy's basement. How fortunate he was that he wasn't injured or his family wasn't
injured. I know. Those storms are devastating.
Well,
they can be.
We were getting ready to go down to Ashley to have dinner, and we just stopped over to pick up one of our friends, and the storm hit, so we got out and went in her garage, which is on the lower level.
Okay.
And actually stayed in the garage for 30 minutes until they gave the all clear on the hurricane, on the tornado.
Right.
It was, that wind was strong, and it was raining torrents.
Yes,
it was. Really, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, so.
And sometimes it only lasts a few minutes, but it's so devastating.
Well, a couple of minutes can create an awful lot of damage.
Yes, it could.
Yeah.
Yes,
loss
it
of
could.
Life and everything else. So we're fortunate, thank God, that it didn't impact us in this area, and we keep.
Yeah, because they spotted it in Big Island.
Oh yeah. So we'll keep our thoughts and our prayers with those people that did have damage.
Amen.
But I don't think there was any loss of life, which was good.
That is a good thing.
Yep.
That we're all in the land of the living today.
Absolutely.
That is a great thing. So Fred Malone is the chairman of the Marion Historical Society, and along with him, he has some guests today, and I'll let him introduce them.
Yeah, they'll be with us here in just a few minutes, Dr. Terry Brown and Glenn Coble, who are friends of mine. We're going to be talking about democracy a little bit later on. So I want to start out this morning first, though. Our museum, Heritage Hall, which is the home of the Marion County Historical Society, is ready to open for its regular hours starting on May the 1st. May 1st is a Wednesday, and we are going to be open then Wednesday through Sunday from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and those will be our regular hours clear out the summer, clear up into the fall when we eventually close for the winter.
Okay.
So again, that's coming up May the 1st. So I wanted to remind everybody of that, and then also I wanted to give you a rundown on what the charges are for coming into the museum as a visitor. So all adults are $8, seniors are $7, children K through 12 are $4, under 5 is free. So all you grandparents who want to bring your grandkids along, there's the prices for those. If you are a member of the Historical Society, you get free entrance to the museum anytime you want. Wednesday through Sunday, anytime you want. Stop up a couple of times a week if you want.
That's great.
Yeah, so there are a lot of benefits to being a member. That is primarily the first. The other benefit to being a member is, of course, you get advance notice on all the upcoming events for the Historical Society. You do get access to our newsletter. And just the benefit of supporting the history of Marion County is in my estimation, the primary reason for becoming a member of the Marion County Historical Society.
Okay.
You know, it's been said many, many times before, and I'll repeat it again, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And history tells us where we've been and hopefully the direction that we're going to take in the future, and that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later on.
Great.
So if you want to be a member of the Historical Society, individual memberships and family memberships and so forth are as follows. If you are a student, and again, that includes college students, so even if you're done with undergraduate and you're in graduate school, you're still considered a student, that's $10 a year. That's a pretty good benefit. That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty cheap. An individual, $35 a year, and a family, and there's no limit on family, $50. So if you got four or five kids, they're still in there for that $50 charge for a family. Now, we have other areas that you can contribute to, and we call these those people that go over and above, or beyond, I should say. And we have those levels at 100, 250, 500, 1,000, and then if you are a really big contributor, we just call that an other contributor. So, and we do actually have some people that donate some pretty sizable donations to us for the year.
That's great.
And again, as I've said before, Linda, we are a 501c3. We're a nonprofit.
Right.
And we operate solely on the money that we can generate from membership fees, from dues, and from the proceeds from events that we hold throughout the year. We do have a couple of endowments that we can draw interest from once a year. But again, that's limited to how the market does. And if the market doesn't do well for the year, then of course what we draw from that is smaller. So
right.
That's money that we can budget for, hopefully, but we don't always know what that's going to be until it comes time to draw it.
Right.
We get no federal aid. We get no state aid. We don't get anything from the city. We are fortunate once in a while if the county commissioners have a little extra money in their box, why they'll make some contributions to us, which
that's
has helped. Over the years, they've given us anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, and one year when they were really flush, I think we got $30,000 from them, which helped tremendously.
I'm sure it did.
But that's not a guarantee. And the last couple of years, we've not received anything from them, and we understand that.
They've right.
You know, their coffers are low too. But the point I'm trying to make is, we need the support of the community,
yes,
both individually and corporately. So if you are a business person that has a business, big or small, think about setting aside a small contribution to the Marion County Historical Society. We have over 35,000 articles in our archives, 35,000 pieces of historical memorabilia from Marion County. And that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy to keep that all straight and to keep it properly stored. Unless you're familiar with museums, archival material such as plastic sleeves, boxes to store things in, they're extremely expensive because they have to be, of course, acid-free. Acid will destroy things in a matter
right,
of time.
Right, that's true. I never thought about that.
That's what happens with things that have been collected over the years. Just think of your own possessions. If you're storing something that has significance to your family, you put it in a box, put it in the attic. 30 years later, you go up to get it out. If it's a piece of clothing or something with cloth in it, it may be completely deteriorated.
Whoa.
So unless you have an acid-free box or the proper things to store them in,
okay,
they won't last. So again, that's part of the cost.
Right.
When we get things donated to us, we have to be particularly careful that we store them properly so that they're there for 100 years from now, mm-hmm, when people start to come to visit mm-hmm the museum. So anyway, that's my plug for there. I did want to give a little history of the Historical Society. I've never done this before, but our office has prepared this one-page bit of information on how we got started, and I just want to share that with,
okay,
with everybody this morning. I'm going to take a few minutes. In 1989, the Historical Society purchased Marion's old post office, where
okay
we're located currently, and renamed it Heritage Hall. The National Register building is now our headquarters and our museum. Since 1989, Heritage Hall Museum has housed an extensive collection of memorabilia representing the citizens, industries, and ideals that helped a small town make its mark on the world. Mm-hmm. And we certainly have.
Yes.
Annually, we have over 4,000 visitors to Heritage Hall. MCHS is the owner of the National Register one-room schoolhouse, Lynn School, which was built in 1897 and fully restored in 2003. The Lynn School is open to the public from May to October and showcases life in a one-room school. And there is an admission charge for Lynn School, but it's only $2 for all ages.
Really? That's
so
all?
It's very inexpensive to tour Lynn School. And we have the Hamilton brothers to thank for the restoration of that building.
And then after you restored,
it got hit by a truck a couple
oh
of years
gosh.
Ago. Yeah, and we had to do major restoration on the corner of the building that was destroyed.
Right.
So it's actually been restored twice.
My.
Located on the Pioneer Green at the Marion County Fairgrounds are the Wilhelm Cider Log House and the Neidhart Smokehouse. Mm-hmm. The log house built in 1851 and the smokehouse built in 1832. Programs hosted at the log house allow attendees to experience pioneer life, and it's fully functioned, fully restored, and fully equipped with the bed and the things that you would have seen and that would have been typical in a log house of that time period. Unfortunately, due to the fact that we operate mainly with volunteers and have a small staff, we can only open those two buildings during the Marion County Fair.
Okay.
So that's the only time you have an opportunity to see them. We do occasionally have an event out there and do have people come. So that you have to just kind of watch for that. But the fair is coming up.
Yes, it is.
In another
soon.
Month or so.
Soon.
So you get a chance to see that. Heritage Hall is also home to the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum. Located under a colorful circus tent in the most expensive, most impressive collection of popcorn wagons and peanut roasters in the United States and the world.
Wow.
We have to include world because we are the single largest popcorn museum in the world. Hard to believe, right here in Marion, Ohio. These priceless wagons date back as far as the turn of the century and have been restored to their original condition. One of only two popcorn museums globally, it also represents the most extensive collection of restored popcorn antiquities. And I must say that the other one is a privately owned museum up in Sylvania, which is a suburb of Toledo. Mm-hmm. And that's one man owns that facility. And it is not nearly, of course, the size of what we have here in Marion.
Okay.
In the fall of 2021, we opened our exhibit, Black Life and Experience, 1960s Now. This exhibit will be a permanent part of the exhibit display floor at MCHS's Heritage Hall. And I think I saw your picture in that.
Yes,
exhibit.
I have some things donated in there.
Yeah.
I do, yes.
So we're really happy to have that. In July of 2021, MCHS became the official home of the 40th Treasury of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Her museum is open daily, Wednesday through Sunday, when the rest of the museum is open. In 2022, we opened that exhibit to visitors, and we actually had former Governor Ted Strickland on hand to help us cut the ribbon for that day. He and Mary Ellen were very good friends.
Political buddies.
Political buddies, yes, with her association as state
yes.
treasurer and his as governor. The Buckeye Telephone Museum display keeps alive the memory of the items that made the telephone industry what it is today, which was a very big part of Marion's history. Okay. Where the Sheriff's Department, of course, is now is the old GTE building. And
right.
for a long time, we used to have our presidential dinner upstairs on the second floor of that, which was a great place to have it because we were overlooking the Harding Memorial, and it just made for
sure
a great
was.
Scene. Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of sad that we had to move out of there, but I think that's now it's part of the Sheriff's Office training facility. I think they do deputy training and so forth.
They got them a nice building, didn't
they? They do. They really do. Anyway, as service and system change, many things have been donated from local telephone companies over the years. You can view various open wire insulators, operator switchboards, wall-mounted magneto crank phones, maps, phone books, testing gear, and much, much more. And I get a real big kick out of the kids that come to visit the mm-hmm. museum now because most of those kids have never seen a regular telephone.
I'm
not
sure.
even a dial foot tone that we, you know, the phone that
right.
we used to have for years sitting on desk.
Right.
So they're really amazed when they see the old switchboards and crank phones and phones that don't have cranks or buttons that you just picked up and asked the operator to connect you with so and so.
Yeah. Right.
So that's probably one of the most interesting things to the kids, I would say. Other than the woodland elves. The Woodland Elves exhibit, Sherry Williamson has attracted visitors from over 92 countries and is now part of Heritage Hall. Of course, for years and years, it was at their home out on the boulevard. Sherry has written, I think, 6 or 7 books about the Woodland Elves.
Yes.
And I think they've now relocated to Florida. I think her husband was having some ill health or something.
I think he passed away, too.
Did he finally pass away?
Yes, she did.
Up when we had the grand opening a couple of years ago, same time we had the opening of Mary Ellen's Museum, and gave a nice little talk a couple of times during the day for people that were in that day. And did you by any chance get up for that, Glenn?
Yeah.
We had a real nice turnout that day. We had a couple hundred people that came to the museum that day. So we're really proud to have that. And as with the Telephone Museum and with Sherry Williamson's exhibit, you know, there was no one around to take those two things. The people out at the Telephone Museum on Bell Fountain Avenue, they were losing their volunteers. Just like we are with the Historical Society, our folks are aging out.
Yeah.
And they just didn't have anybody to keep it open anymore, and we didn't want to see it go by the wayside, so we gladly took it over, and I'm glad we did. MCHS is also a lot of educational program. We have events throughout the county. Of course, our big event is Dinner with the Presidents. That's always held the first Saturday in November. You have an opportunity to meet. Usually, I try to have 14, 15 presidents and first ladies with first ladies, some with first ladies, some without. There, you can have dinner with them. You can listen to them speak. And the dinner that we have is a buffet-style dinner. And the recipes are all taken from the White House cookbooks based on the speaking presidents that we're featuring that year. So it's a fabulous event. It seems to get bigger and bigger every year. I think this year we had 271 people there, which was nearly at our capacity. We have to cut it off at 300. So we're real proud of that event. This will be coming up, I think, our 15th year. This November will be our 15th year of doing that. Also, just had Night at Heritage Hall, which is our night at the museum featuring the movie that was out a few years ago where the characters come alive. That was a very successful event. I think I was here after we had that event, but that's always a very popular event. Blast from the Past. Something that we've been doing for about 25 years now is a traveling youth education and outreach program that's now held in conjunction with the Mary City Schools Summer Lunch Program. We educate over 500 youth every summer, allowing them to learn about the history of Marion County. So we're really proud of that. We used to do that event at the museum, and we limited it to the younger kids. Now we've expanded that and taken in all the kids prior to going to high school. So they don't teach history in school anymore.
I know. I heard about that. No.
And they used to teach.
That's a great disservice to our youth, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, they don't even teach Ohio or U.S. history. And we used to have, Randy Wendland used to do a program locally about Marion history, which would, you know, the school just doesn't allow us to do those things anymore. They apparently don't feel like that's necessary curriculum.
What are they teaching then?
I don't know, but what I said before, if you don't know, you know, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
That's so true.
And it's so important that these kids learn and know about Marion and how it started and who were the movers and shakers and the people that actually kept this town going. You'd be surprised how many kids don't even know President Harding was a resident of Marion and was elected president when he lived in Marion.
I doubt it.
There's a lot of kids that don't know.
I believe that.
And if it isn't for the work that we do, that the Historical Society does, they wouldn't know any of it. We take in the 4th and 5th grade kids to Lynn School every year in the spring. And we've actually expanded that now to take in some of the kids from the elementary schools in contiguous counties like Wyandotte County and Crawford County, because it's very important for these kids to know that the schools were not always equipped with computers, electric lights, drinking fountains, restrooms, and all the things that we take for granted today. So that's another very important part of what we do at the Marion County Historical Society is educating the young kids about what it was like to attend school 150 years ago. Wow. So we're really proud of Lynch School. And again, that is open May through October. We do every other weekend. There's a schedule on our website, marianhistory.com. You can learn more information by going to the website. You can also call the office Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30. Someone will be in the office, and that's 740-387-4255, and they can help you with that. But go to the website, marianhistory.com, because that has all of our upcoming events. You can also read past issues of our newsletter on the website as well, and really catch up on what's happening there. The museum is located at 169 East Church Street. For those that have lived in Marion for any more than a few years should know that that's the old post office building located right downtown. It's that big, impressive granite building that's on the corner of State and Church Streets. So,
1989, you purchased it?
Yes, 1989, we bought it. In fact, the funny story about that, the post office started, I think they started construction on their building out on Berks Road in 87, late 87. And it wasn't until 88 that they moved in out there. And the building sat empty for a while. And at the time, the museum, or I should say, house that had a little museum in it, and the home of the Historical Society was located down on Main Street. And at the time, they started considering buying the old museum, or the old post office, to turn into our museum. And a lot of the members on the board at that time said, "What in the world are you going to buy that great big building for? You'll never fill it up, and we're going to go bankrupt."
Oh my!
And I think if I remember correctly, we paid somewhere around $80,000 for that building. And Judge Myers was the big mover and shaker. He and Trello Romine, okay. And they were pushing the purchase of that building. And for the naysayers who said, "What are you going to do with all that space? Stop in and see me someday," because we are bursting
space,
out the
right?
seams. Yeah. Yes. As I said, we've got over 35,000 items in the archives. Our archival space is gone.
Right.
Which is a bad thing, because now we have to be extremely selective on what we can accept from people.
Right.
Because if we don't have a place to put it and properly store it,
right,
we can't take it.
Oh my.
And it's a shame, because, you know, as people start to age and mm-hmm. start to think about what they're going to do with these things, and I don't know about you folks, but my son is not interested in anything in his house. They're minimalists.
Oh, yes.
They don't want any clutter. They don't
no,
want collection.
Don't
my
want
son
it.
Doesn't collect anything. but vinyl records. He collects vinyl records.
Okay.
But for the most part, the younger people aren't interested in collecting anything. So
no, they don't want it.
You need to have a place where this history is not lost.
That's true.
And that place is the historical societies of the world. Not just Marion County Historical Society, but all historical societies have that same problem.
Right.
I've got friends that operate historical societies all over the state of Ohio, and we're all in the same boat.
Mm.
You know, we don't get funding. We have to raise our own money, and we're running out of space, and we're running out of money.
Wow.
So, you know, we operate on a budget that I think right now our budget this year was around $160,000, and that we have to raise on our own. And that's, we have two full-time and one part-time person working for us. The rest of us are all volunteers.
Well, anymore, it seems like history's not important.
No, it isn't. And that's the other problem. With only a couple of part-time and volunteers, our volunteers are aging out and passing on. And
the younger
we can't
generation,
get the younger generation to volunteer in anything. Just for example, when Warren Harding was living in Marion mm-hmm. and was elected president,
right,
the Elks Lodge had over 2,000 members in it. They just closed their doors. They couldn't keep their doors open. The last few years, they kept, I think they were averaging maybe 120, 130 members in there. And basically, they were only keeping it open for the bar.
Yeah, because they were over on State Street, and then they left State Street yeah. upstairs.
Well, and the Moose, the mm-hmm. same thing happened to Moose. They had that giant building out on North Main Street.
Right, right.
And they didn't have the membership to keep it up. And so they're now out on that strip mall, out on Delaware Avenue, out there where...
been out there yet.
Joe has his restaurant down at the end of it. It used to be a Chinese restaurant in there.
Yeah.
That's their building now. That's the Moose Lodge now. So this is what's happening. Masonic Lodge is the same way. The younger people do not belong to clubs. They don't belong to organizations like that. We used to have 3 or 4 Lions clubs in the Marion area alone. I think they're down to 1 now. You know, social clubs, civic organizations, they just don't exist anymore because there's nobody to run them. The kids aren't interested in it. So
that means kids aren't socializing anymore, right?
Well, they are, but they're not socializing in the right way.
Right, there you go.
And that's that causes a lot of problems.
Yes, it does.
People are complaining about lies, lies, lies. Well, if you don't have the truth in documentation,
absolutely,
you can't counter those lies.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of lies because people can't prove it the other
way. That's
absolutely
true. Well, and here's the thing, though, too, Linda. We don't have the civic organizations. We don't have the social clubs that we used to have. But there's no shortage of bars.
True. They're still
just go around town and count them someday.
I think that's always been true, though.
Yeah. It is. It is. But it's not getting better.
No.
And we're losing the things that I feel are important.
More important than a bar.
That are more important to keep the history of this county, this state, this country alive. So, again, I hate to be on a soapbox, but, folks, we need your help. Yes. The Marion County Historical Society is struggling. And I don't ever want to see the day come when we have to close our doors.
True.
Not necessarily permanently, but I don't want to see the time that we have to close our doors for any extended period of time because we don't have any money to pay the electric bill. We don't have any money to pay the gas bill. You know, it takes money to run those things.
I understand.
We're trying to finish up a capital campaign that we started 2 years ago. We needed to raise about $975,000. We're about 72% there. So we still need to raise about $225,000 to finish what we're doing. We desperately needed a new roof on the building.
Right.
So we got enough money for the roof. We desperately needed a new heating, a new HVAC system in the building. We collected enough money to do that. Beyond that, there's a lot of work to do on the exterior of the building. There's a lot of work to do on the interior of the building, the aesthetics of the building. And we're still short. Now, if it had not have been for a grant, not necessarily a grant, but the state of Ohio in their budget last year gave us $200,000, which we were fortunate to get. And the county commissioners, because of the excess COVID money that they had left over, were able to give us $230,000. So that pretty much took care of what we needed for the roof and the HVAC.
Right.
We got some corporate donations and some private donations to take us up to where we are today, but we're still short nearly $250,000.
Right.
So we're still trying to raise money for that capital campaign. So that's the other thing I need help with, folks.
Right.
And no donation is too small.
Right.
I mean, if $10 is all you can give, give $10. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way.
Yes.
To heat and cool that building is extremely expensive. And we close down in the wintertime and shut everything off except the heat that's in the offices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do what we can. But again, May the 1st will be our official opening day, and that's on a Wednesday. And the hours will be 1 to 4, and then that will continue to take place throughout the summer, 1 to 4, Wednesday through Sunday. You can stop in any time.
Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to elaborate on something you said. You talked about how bars, you know, all their business is going good still.
Right.
Bars have had a lot of trouble since that smoking thing. The Oakland Bar and Grill, it's no longer. So, Shovel Lounge in between the tracks there on Center Street, it's no longer. It's a food place now.
Uh-huh.
The place over there where the storage is at, and that bar closes, opens and closes. And you go up and down Silver Street, there's a lot of bars there on Silver Street that hasn't been there for years. So, you know, the bar business really, you know, is not going too good for some people.
Wow.
You know,
didn't consider that, because not being able to smoke is a big big thing, right?
Sure, right. And I appreciate your comments, and you're absolutely right. And I'm not trying to denigrate bars or anything
like
that.
No, I'm not trying. I hate to call in and kind of say something to you.
No, that's fine. That's what we're here for.
And I have a question for you. What do you think about, you know, they don't teach history anymore, but when they was teaching history, they didn't teach the truth.
Well, I can't tell you about that because I've been out of school for a long, long time, and when I was in school, we were still getting taught the truth. If they're not teaching the truth, I would appreciate them not doing that. But I can't speak to that personally because I do not know that.
Well, it's about, you know, Christopher Columbus, and, you know, a lot, and then there's a big thing anymore where, you know, they want to hold our ancestors responsible if they did this. They did that back in the day. I see that in a way, but then again, if you was brought up in them times, you might have been plantation owner too.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
You know, so the times dictate, you know, you just can't label all people that was involved in some of those things bad people.
No, absolutely, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. No problem.
Okay,
there.
Well, finish listening.
All right. Thank you, caller. Call
yep.
again.
Thanks,
mm-hmm. Bye.
He has a valid point, and again, I'm not trying to say that he's not correct, because I think in some instances that's actually the truth. And the no smoking thing, it has created problems for restaurants and bars alike, and public buildings in general. But you also have to think that. Medical science has proven that smoking is detrimental to your health, and I think that's why they did it, because if you want to smoke, that's your decision. You can smoke yourself wherever you want. But for those people that do not smoke and don't want that smoke to inhale themselves, then we need something to protect them as well. So
I don't like it in my clothes and in my hair.
Yeah, right. Right. There's two sides to every story,
yeah,
and
is.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
The bars have had problems with the issue, and I can appreciate that, and I'm one of those people that completely support small business, and a lot of bars are small business. They're family-owned. But that's not just the case with bars. All small businesses are suffering today, not for just that issue, but for other issues. You know, there are large corporations that are, in my estimation, ruining small-town America. And I won't specifically give out names, but a lot of the big box stores have hurt mom-and-pop stores all over the United States.
Yes.
Go to Upper Sandusky. Go downtown Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Upper Sandusky. Go to Tiffin. Go to Bucyrus. You don't see the small town stores anymore. They can't stay in business.
Right.
But the point is, and he's right with history, the point is history. You cannot change it.
True.
The only thing you can do is go forward to try to make it better, so in the future, the history that those people are looking back at is better than what it was 300 years ago.
So
and
true.
Learn from your mistakes.
And learn from
learn
your mistakes.
From your mistakes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But you can't change history. That's the thing. You cannot change history. Taking monuments down doesn't change what happened.
No, it sure does
it
not.
It doesn't change what happened. So, anyway, May 1st again, May 1st, and we'll be opening the museum for the season, and I hope to see you all there. Again, admission charges $8 for adults, $7 for seniors. Children K through 12 are $4. Under 5, you're free. Members always get in free. And if you want to tour Lynn's school sometime this summer, it's $2. Check the website, marionhistory.com, to see the weekends that it will be open. And again, when it's open from 1 to 4 on Saturday and Sunday of those particular weekends. So,
wow.
That's all I can say about that. I want to mention couple other quick things. What we got? Just a few minutes before
just
we...
Just a few minutes.
Okay, I've taken
for
up
our
this,
break.
I've taken up this whole time.
I could have stayed in bed.
Yeah, you could have. I'll let you talk the next time.
Yes, next hour's on you.
The Mohawk Historical Society is going to be opening for the summer. We have hours on Saturdays, every Saturday of the month from 1 to 4, so you can stop in. There'll be somebody there to walk you through the museum. We now have three buildings that are all attached. We have handicapped access to the building, ramps everywhere, so no problem if you're in a wheelchair or walker, you need assistance, there'll be somebody there to help you. But the Mohawk Historical Society takes in the Mohawk School District, which is actually three different counties.
Right.
Wyandotte, Crawford, and Seneca County. It's a pretty large district area-wise, but not a large district population-wise. I think when my son graduated in 95, he graduated 78 kids. I think he had 78 kids, and it hasn't changed much in that length of time. So anyway, that'll be open starting here in another week or so. Malabar Farm, the trails are all open now. I believe the house will start doing tours after May the 1st, so you can take a tour.
Harding Home?
I'm sorry?
The Harding Home?
No, this is at Malabar Farm over in Richland County.
Yeah, okay.
Lloyd Brumfield's home, 32-room mansion that he built from 1939 to 1940. So that'll be open starting on May 1st, and you have to check on the state's website. Just type in Malabar Farm, State of Ohio, or Malabar Farm State Park, and their website will come up, and you can get the information on that. But the trails are open now. The walking trails are open. I will say, I don't think, what is this, about the 18th of May, April?
Yes.
The wildflowers should still be out on some of the trails over there. They are absolutely beautiful. If you do the Jungle Brook Trail, which is a one-mile loop, that's a really nice trail for walking in the spring. You'll see a lot of wildflowers out on that trail. But there's some other trails, the Doris Duke Trail in Woods there. There's also equestrian trails if you're a horseback rider. You can take your horse over. There's a staging area over there where you can park your trailer and unload the horse. And the visitor center, which has a gift shop in it, restroom facilities. Oh, by the way, we have our new restroom facilities at Malabar across from the Big House. They say are the best in the state of Ohio now for all the state parks.
Great.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a good thing to know. But the visitor center has newly been remodeled. They just reopened it. It was closed all through the winter. The state spent nearly $500,000 redoing the visitor center, so it's kid-friendly. Mm-hmm. A lot of hands-on exhibits in there now, so you can stop in there and see that as well. The other thing I wanted to mention was, today, after I leave here, I'm heading up into Wyandotte County for a reunion of the Sycamore Grasshoppers Gentlemen's Baseball Club.
Oh, my.
Which was an organization I started in 1994 where we played vintage baseball, Civil War-style baseball, using the rules from 1858. It was a gentleman's game, underhand pitching, and it was a lot of fun. So we're having a reunion.
Okay.
First time we've all been together in over 20 years. So I'm really, really excited about that this afternoon. So
has it changed much from then to
now? The original rules, yes, tremendously.
Wow.
When we played, again, it was strictly a gentleman's game. We wore ties, white shirts and ties when we played. There was no bunting. There was no stealing. There was no profanity. You couldn't spit on the ground, nothing like that. It was just an entirely different game. You could catch a ball either on one bounce or on a fly, and it was still an out.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it's changed a lot, and we didn't use gloves.
Well, thank you, Fred Malone, chairman of the Marion Historical Society. Thank you for all of that. Now, please stay tuned for the next hour, 11:15 until the top of the hour, 12 noon. We have guests here that are with Fred Malone, and it's going to be an exciting hour. So please stay tuned. Yes. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.